notes, yeah, and you go to integrity, and then you go down to rules. There's a sort of accordion with pool swimming and open water swimming. If you open the pool swimming, the swimming facilities rules, swimming bylaws, and swimming rules, and the one we were just looking at are the swimming facilities rules. And these are updated in November last year.
Yeah,
that's
a handy device.
Is that
just a BS iPad?
Yeah, we're talking about the rules, not the device.
Go on, show off, you know. It's the one you use, you don't need glasses.
Do you seem to know more about it than I do. It works very well, thanks.
Same as mine.
That's handy to know, as I say, a lot of us do schoolmates.
Particularly, it's our
responsibility.
It would be handy to know, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we had a recent meeting at the tour, the Gunnedah pool that I helped out at. And, okay. And the question was asked, and I realised our kids all had to die from the shark. Yeah. Now, we're 1.3 at Gunnedah.
Yeah.
So the depth of the water is 1.3.
Okay.
And
but that was the depth, the water, what was the depth from the water to the...
It's under the point. Or just 1.4, whatever it is. So they were right, but we just made a conscious effort to make a point and let the kids know at the other end, yes, you are allowed to dive this end, just be aware that it is a shallow end, do not deep dive.
You may start in the water.
Yeah.
Stuff your shot in the water, 2 feet on the wall, one hand on the wall.
Yeah, sure. We just made a conscious effort to let them know that it is the shallow end, deep dive.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did on Wednesday. Yes.
Yeah. I'm just conscious it's 12:30. Lunch is available. How do you want to do it, John? Do you want to keep going? Pause for break. I can bring it out, and you can keep talking while people chew.
What do you guys? Do you want a break? It's an hour and a half in. Probably a good time for a break. Yep. No.
I don't mind
eating. Well, look, do you want to keep going? I'll bring food out and put it on the table.
Yep.
We've got celiac for you.
Yes, thank you.
And then there's general sandwiches. I'll bring them and put them on the table. And there's plates and things. Okay.
We can all eat on camera.
Now, the pool depth would obviously be something that would impact on your running the meat.
There's a cat. I'll bring out a jug. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I wasn't there for the whole thing yesterday. I hung up for a couple of hours because I had to work as well and to watch. I was told yesterday that for the district carnival, they didn't know when to dive at the turning.
That was a primary meet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the primary.
Yeah, I was there for the secondary meet, and I just went over and told the marshals, the clerks, of course, instruct the swimmers they may dive, they do not have to.
I only heard after my wife was swimming afterwards, they didn't have to dive.
Yeah, at primary school they often don't, because they're not as skilled. And again, some of the high school kids aren't as skilled at swimming either.
My son refused to swim last at his carnival only because they weren't going to let him dive at that end. So he said, I'll swim one or three, I don't care. I'm not swim last.
Mine's do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Saturday's check the pool facilities, check the marshalling area, especially how the swimmer's going to get from the marshalling area to the starting area. How are the checks going to bring them out? Is there adequate lighting? Are the officials, do they know how to talk to each other to get their messages across? The AOE. You want in line with the finish if you possibly can. If you go to Dubbo, they are not only in line with the finish, they are 2 stories up, looking straight down. Nobody gets in their way. Perfect spot to watch the finish. But you need a radio to communicate with them. And they don't have radios. What they have is a bucket on a string.
Oh, I like that. That's quite tough.
Yeah.
Do they also have string phones?
No. Okay. No. So the results go up via the stream. PQ swims. Okay, have we got lap counters? If we're running 800 metre events or 1500 metre events, we need lap counters. If you're using judges' stands, where should it be positioned? If you're using a judges' stand, where would you want it to be? In line with the finish. Yeah. The starter's stand is going to be somewhere there too. Can't get in the way of the judges if you're using them. And the referee will be standing somewhere there as well. Kiama Pool, where I work, is awful because if you're on the main 8 side and it's during the daylight, you can't see what the swimmers are doing. Glare. That's acceptable. What would not be acceptable would be to have the glare for the referee and the starter and the finish judges and the AOE operator. If they can't see what's happening in the water, they're not going to come up with a good result, a fair result. So you've got to, you know, what's the pool like? And again, the weather protection, I love the idea of Goulburn handing out umbrellas.
Also, I got photographed called Mary Poppins because of it, sorry. It was very, it was really...
Narrow mind, you had nothing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. We all had it this season, but yeah.
Yeah, we didn't know. Very, very
well, I think the tricky thing with Goulburn was right during the fires, so we had the heat, but we also had the breathing
issue. Yep.
Water bottles filling up during the meet.
Yeah, no, it's really tricky not to pick up the heat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, now, briefing. If you're at SOPAC, in the Swimming New South Wales meet, the briefings are getting easier and easier because the technical manager, technical director, does most of the briefing, explains all. However, if you're in a district meet, it will be up to you. You will have to do the full briefing. Obviously, if you're working with a team that is experienced, you won't have to be as detailed as you would be if you've got a new team, an inexperienced team. So you've got to work your message to your audience. But what do you say? The central themes. Be consistent when you apply the rules. Behaviour. We've already heard, if you are talking to the referee, everybody's watching you. So you don't want to be aggressive. You want to appear calm and in control. Your behaviour is important. Your movement, your positioning. You want to talk to the people. How do you want them to move? Where do you want them to be positioned? One of my first experiences at SOPAC, I was judge of stroke number 2, and there weren't many inspectors of turns, and based on what I've been doing at district level, I wanted to get round to the wall to where an inspector of turns would be. I ran to get there. And I was told when I got back, never run. What are you looking for if you run? If you run, you look like you're going to pick on someone. If you walk, and you make sure you look as though you're inspecting every lane equally. And if you have an infraction to report, walk quickly. But walk. So movement, position. Remember, any doubt must be in favour of the swimmer. Lots of people talk about you must be 100% convinced. It's absolutely true. If you see it, report it. If you're wondering if you saw it, don't. It's as simple as that. Any doubt in favour of a swimmer, there any special instructions, including proper conduct around swimmers. Yeah. So one you will often hear is, don't talk to the swimmers unless they talk to you. And keep your conversations at an appropriate level. Which is funny because Kate Campbell apparently thought we were all too snobby to talk to her. Until she asked the question, why don't you guys talk to us? Because we've been told not to, because you have a job to do when you're out there, we don't want to distract you. Oh, I thought you were just too good to talk to them. No, we would talk to you till the cows come home if we were allowed to.
I did check starting at state, so we did some finals with the multi-class.
Yep.
So I was the one that had to ask Ellie Cole where she'd like her leg, and yes. I found that very awkward, but by the end, I was more than happy to say, what side of the pool are you getting out on? Do you want me to move your leg? And she had like a towel as well.
Yep.
But that was very daunting, I thought, at first, to where you want me to move your leg to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it works the other way too. When you get a swimmer who's never had that before, the leg is part of them. And if you ask, where do you want me to put your leg, they'll often recoil. No, you don't touch me.
Would you like me to move? And then
somebody has to explain to them, no, when you get out of the pool, you're going to be getting out there or there. Do you want to hop across? Or across on your bum. We're trying to be nice and have it there ready for you with everything you need.
Yes.
And that has happened too.
Yes, I did that with the Ellie Cole and Tim Hodge. I just went, oh.
Yep.
By the end, I was able to say, but it felt funny at first. Where do you want me to?
Yes, it does. Apparently, in 2000 Paralympics, somebody having a bit of fun asked, where will you put my teeth?
Is that the swimmer to the official?
Mm. I can't remember. It's a story I've heard. I was in the control room for the Olympics, so I didn't get to do any of that. Okay, so that's how you behave in a swimmer's workplace health and safety. You can advise people to wear a hat, but more importantly, ask them if they see or instruct them. If they see anything that is a danger to the competitors, to the officials, to the spectators, to anybody, immediately report it to the meet director and the referee, or the referee, whichever. 1999 World Cup meet held here. To stop the swimmers going up the front and splashing themselves, the splashing official, they decided to put a bucket of water behind each lane. Those buckets of water were removed when one of the technical officials stepped back into it and broke her arm. And we haven't seen them since. Okay. There is a guideline for briefing in Appendix 2 at the back. You don't have to do the full briefing. You can delegate to your chiefs. So you only have to brief your chiefs. And they can take people away and quietly tell them, do this. And that's where I'm going to stop so I can have a bite to eat. And then we'll go on to inspector turns. Okay. So let's have a look at these Inspector of Turns training notes. And I'm not going to worry too much about the general stuff.
Just dropping into the because we get referred to them, I haven't actually read them.
I'm not going to worry too much about general stuff. You know, to do your job properly, you need a whistle, pencil, pen, notepad, clipboard, rule infraction cards, which will be given to you. You don't have to supply your own usually. You'll be given one when you make a report. And if you, as I said, if you're a referee at an Australian meet, you'll be given one when you go out on deck. If you need more, they are available. Make sure you have a copy of the rules if you're going to be an inspector of turns. You may be required to operate lap counters. Okay, and that, under a change of the rules about 2 years ago, lap counters can be operated from either end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen them operated from the start end, but the rules now make the provision for it. Okay.
I'm just trying to think it gets in the way when they're trying to get onto the blocks and all that type of stuff. I'm trying to think of the logic for it.
You hold it. The inspector returns would have it back when they start the race, because it's 800, 1500 freestyle. You're not going to get up until the lead swimmer is 15 metres from the turn. So you carry it up with you and hold it there.
Okay. Timekeepers?
Timekeepers
aren't going to be there.
No, it's just awkward.
But the timekeeper's going to be there at the end.
At the end. When you finish, there's no laps to go.
Yeah. And you've already signalled two laps and five metres to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I would hate to try and have to use our lap counters at the start because we don't have even numbers.
That would have to be something totally different.
Yeah. You may be required to operate a signalling device for indicating a swimmer in events of 800 metres and longer, but there are two laps and 5 metres to go before the finish. Signalling device, a whistle or a bell. Or something else I have no idea what. One I've heard of, I've never seen used. Semi-electronic equipment for underwater display. Okay. Inspector.
Would that be like a light for a death swimmer?
No. Nope. It is something that sits on the bottom of the pool and indicates how many laps to go.
Oh, but
flashes
9 and 8.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You change it. Semi-automatic timing push buttons, which if you live in Queensland, you'll hear called plungers. Okay. Now, obviously, if you're going to use any of that, some of it's not going to be very familiar. You need to make yourself familiar with how you use it. Similarly, if you've never used backstroke ledgers, first time you're an inspector of turns, you need to find out how to use them. They're quite simple once you know how to use them. Okay, if you're the chief inspector of turns, it's your job to allocate inspectors of turns to their lanes. Hopefully, you will have one for each lane at each end of the pool. This afternoon, we have no inspectors of turns. At country. 2, 4, 6, 8. Tomorrow there are 8.
What events have we got on this afternoon though?
I've got a list of officials.
Is that just because we couldn't get the officials?
Sorry?
Because I meant to look at the list of events, so I'm wondering why, if it was just because we couldn't get the officials.
It's country championships.
Yep.
Getting people to come down
for Friday.
May mean they have to take Thursday off.
I suppose it's a bit long.
Yeah. That's true. Because Canberra is, 3 hours? Canada is?
Six.
Four and a half.
I haven't taken
someone up. I haven't taken
yesterday. Yeah, 8 hours.
New South Wales goes out to Bourke, to Cobar. Well, can you?
Pull him up on his professionalism.
Yeah, so he's not doing well today. Professionalism, he wears a pair of manage.
Yeah, no. He shouldn't be
late
in the door.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bernie. Okay, so you have to. You have to work out how to allocate your inspectors of turn so they can get the best possible view. Excuse me. Of all the swimmers. It may be a case, obviously, tonight, we have no inspectors of turns. The judges have stroked and will be looking at the swimmers' turns, touches and turns. If you've got enough enough to have four at each end, two lanes each, and the judges have stroked to watch. Oh, I hate this. It happened to me now and then. I'm sorry.
All right.
I have another one. Because you try and stay in the class, but the kids get worried because your face goes red. They get used to it. Okay, so you want to allocate your inspectors of turns to give the maximum coverage. Tomorrow we've got 8 inspectors of turns. Hopefully we'll get a couple more walk-ins. But that means each inspector of turns does 2 lanes. So we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 0 and 9 are the judges of stroke. Okay. As the chief, you have to instruct your inspectors of turns at the start end, if there are 800 and 1500 metre events, that they will need a whistle or a bell, whichever is being used. It will be consistent across the pool. If they're at the turn end, that they will be operating lap counters. Chief Inspector of Turns ensures that inspectors of turns fulfil their duties during the competition, so you've got to watch them. After the start and after each turn, scan across, scan back. Are they looking at you? Have they suddenly gone white because they've seen the gun swimmer do something absolutely awful? If you can be aware of that, you can be over there sometimes before they've made up their mind that yes, they really do have to report that. If an infraction is reported, you inform the referee via the radio, if you have one. You send the reporting IOT to the referee, where they will make a verbal report. If the referee accepts that report, they will then be asked to fill in the infraction report card.
So obviously, if you don't have a radio, you just send the IOT straight up.
Yes. And if you are not in your position, the referee will be looking across, scanning, and hopefully the referee has also, and the swimmers have turned, the referee watches the inspectors of turns, mm-hmm. sees the one go white, watches them look at the chief, mm-hmm. they know something is coming. And then they get back to looking at the swimmers in the pool. Mm-hmm. Now, chief inspector of turns does not have the power to reject any report from an inspector of turns. The inspector of turns makes a report, wants to make a report, they go. The inspector returns, ensures that the swimmers comply with the relevant rules from the start, during the turn, and at the finish. And then in relay events, the inspector returns also judge the changeovers. You alert the chief inspector of turns of an observed infractional violation by standing and looking at them. Then you are sent to the referee, and as I said, verbal report. If accepted, then you fill out infraction report. Record the number of laps completed by each swimmer in events of 800 and over. Keep the swimmers informed by those lap counters. When you're operating lap counters, you don't change them as soon as the swimmers hit the wall. Some swimmers will come in and they'll lift their head and have a look. Some swimmers will look under their arm as they're leaving the wall. So let them get 5 metres out before you change it.
That's more that way.
And the chief inspector of turns will be on the side of the pool in a position to observe all those lap counters, keeping track of the 1500, who is 2 laps in front and which lap counters are doing what. How many have you seen the 69 accidentally put up when the swimmer's only got 9 laps to go at SOPAC? Mm-hmm. I have seen in Adelaide, Australian Championships, an ex-FINA referee turn the lap counter and it went right down, and as she stood up, it followed her back up and over. She did not see that because it went way past. You know, it should have stayed there, but for some reason it didn't. So the chief will be on the side. The lap counters should be angled so the chief can see them, as well as the swimmer. And they will all. The chief will tell you on what side of the block to have them for uniformity. And, something that's not in these rules, not in these notes, if you are at a pool where they are using overhead cameras as the timing backup, you will be told as an inspector of turns on which side of the block to stand. Because otherwise your head can get in the way of determining the finish using the camera. So you're not all on one side, you're staggered. This side, that side, this side, that side. But there will be, they put up a diagram for everybody to have a look at.
Good argument for having them on the bottom of the pool. Somehow, even just like a light that flashes, you know, 3 lights for 3 turns, 2 for 3.
No, these are high-speed video cameras, which take 100 frames a second, record at 100 frames a second, and they are the backup timing.
Oh, no, just I meant like if something was under the pool, that then there's no one standing on the sides of the pool there to get in the way.
Yeah. Yes. They haven't done anything like that in the world. I've seen. Underwater cameras used to validate an inspector of turns report, but only once at the Pan Pacs in the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. It was rather daunting because I made the first report on an American who was going straight to the final, and we were told if you make a report, it will be looked at by the underwater camera, and if the underwater camera does not support it, it will not go any further. So you make the report to the chief inspector of turns, who radios it through, and then you stand there and wait. Yeah.
In that circumstance, what was the outcome?
It was left hand then right hand by 3 inches. That's exactly what it was. Then the Americans went in to have a look at the video. And the coaches, I was told, basically went. And the manager said, we're protesting. So, went to a jury and was dismissed. But it was pressure. A, because it's the Pan Pacs, it's the American who's going into the final, and you've got to be, you know, you've got that underwater camera. Apparently my face was white, and the chief inspector of turns was halfway over before I turned to her. Yeah. It's up to the referee to make a decision on what you see. Yeah, HSV, high-speed video cameras are good, but they can juggle where you stand. If you see an infraction, you alert the chief inspector of turns. The chief inspector of turns will alert the referee and, you, and tell you to go, and the chief inspector of turns will replace you with a reserve, or they will come across and fill your spot. Record the number of laps swum by your swimmer. At FINA meets, apparently, for 800 and 1500 metre events, the inspector of turns is given an A4 piece of paper and they have to cross off each lap as it turns, as well as lap counts. Right, so one question you will need to know. What is on the lap counters at the start of an 800 or 1500 metre event for long course and short course events? So, 800 metre event, long course, is 16 laps. But the lap counters are at the end of the first lap, so they display 15. You can see there, we've got the starting laps. And then you only have to know the turn end. Okay. 1500 metre event is 30 laps, so we have 29. For short course, an 800 metre event has 32 laps, so we start with 31. 1500 metre event has 60 laps, so it's 59. The warning signal is given at the start end. When the swimmer has 2 metres, 2 laps and 5 metres to finish the event. What will be on the lap counter at the far end at that point? One. That's how you know. Apart from you keeping an accurate count, that's how you know. And you also keep watching the lap counter.
Because some lap counters get a little overzealous.
And sometimes they're a little bit too chatty.
Yes. Or the opposite works, yes. And they miss flipping it.
Yes.
And so then the whistleblower is not up and ready thinking it's through that scope.
So that's why you keep a count as well. Now, at the start end, you have to give the signal. A bell or a whistle are the two usual devices. The signal must be given when the swimmer has 2 laps and 5 metres to go, and may be repeated after the turn until the swimmer is 5 metres from the turn. That is what the rules say. The protocol is that the signal is given from 5 metres before the turn until 5 metres after the turn. It takes a nice whistle and not blowing too hard to be able to do it. It does not matter if you stop and take a breath and blow again. It does not matter. But there's a competition.
Yes, there's a bit of a friendly fire. I've been having such a hard time for two blows on the whistle.
It's something that I've found is very hard to try and have it blow that for
a period of time. And I look at the swimmer as they're pushing off the wall underwater and thinking, I'm blowing this and there is no way you can hear this at all.
Yeah.
And I've got to keep blowing it.
Yeah, the little bits of people either side looking and going, yeah, come on mate, keep it going.
Okay. A bell, we're now using at sail meets or Australian meets. And that's difficult to use. You have to use it vertically. Any sort of sideways movement and the clanger just goes around the bell.
So you have to use a bell by itself?
It is consistent across the pool. Everybody uses the whistle, everybody uses the bell. And that is determined by the meat director, the technical director, the technical manager. At Sal, yes, you use a bell. It's from New South Wales, it's a whistle.
Do you have to ring your own bell?
No.
No, we have to, okay.
No. Apparently the bells are very expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a bell. It's, I could bring you some for snowsports.
It's a special bell.
It's
they're brass.
Yeah.
They're heavy. They are apparently expensive. So I know for the Olympics in 2000, we borrowed, we didn't buy a new set. If they had bought them from New South Wales, we'd have them. They borrowed them from Western Australia, the only ones in Australia. Okay, backstroke ledges.
No, I'm thinking new career.
Sorry, what was that?
I said, why don't you start manufacturing bells for a living?
And backstroke ledges. There's only one manufacturer of those on the side.
No.
No, there's not.
There are three or four manufacturers of backstroke ledges.
Okay, they're worth a pretty penny.
I was talking with somebody on Wednesday about, yes, the ones we use at SOPAC are about $1,800 each. But they bought, they've only bought one at Dapto Swim Club, and it cost them $400. And it works differently.
Okay.
I'm not sure how it works. They didn't have it.
Oh,
yeah, there's some you can buy them.
No, that's a no. This one doesn't pop up, but there is another one that yes, I have not seen it. But when the swimmer takes off, it automatically
Bang!
Why don't
they just put a new tile across the pool?
Because not everybody wants them, and then there may be a danger to other people turning.
Yeah,
even a textured tile, you know what that's. It seems like a lot of money. That's
they've tried slip proof tiles.
Yeah. Okay.
They still slip.
Yeah.
And I've seen people slip on these ledges. Okay. When ledges are being used, it is the responsibility of the inspector of turns to put the ledge in for each heat and to take it out when the swimmer has started. Now, in practice, we put them in for each event and lift. It doesn't matter where you lift the ledge up to, put it on the top edge of the pool, put it up on the block behind the kicker, doesn't matter. Okay, jurisdiction. You only have jurisdiction over your appointed lane or lanes. What happens anywhere else in the pool is irrelevant to you. You have jurisdiction at the start, from the beginning of the race, from that starting signal, until the end of the first arm stroke. Except in breaststroke, where your jurisdiction ends at the end of the second arm stroke. First arm stroke in butterfly, backstroke, and freestyle is 15 metres down there. If the swimmer is good underwater. And if you watch top level breaststroke, that's where they come up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Two strokes. So that's your jurisdiction at the start. At the turn, your jurisdiction commences with the beginning of the last arm stroke before the turn and finishes at the completion of the first arm stroke after the turn, except in breaststroke, where again it is the second arm stroke. So, your inspector of turns implies that you're looking at the turn. But if in that area of jurisdiction there is a stroking infraction, you can report it. You should report it if you see it. Okay. The breaststroker who does two quick arms is not has broken the cycle of breaststroke. One arm stroke followed by the one leg kick. So you can report that. Should report that, if you say it. At the finish, your jurisdiction is from beginning of the last arm stroke before the touch until the touch. For the rest of the time, you can stand there and enjoy the swimming. And judge how efficient they are, who's doing it best, all the things that we do. Okay. You observe them. Oh, sorry. Your positioning. You're sitting down at the start end. You're sitting down behind the swimmers. The referee blows the short whistles. You sit. The referee blows the long whistle. You stand and move forward. This is for breaststroke and butterfly. You stand and move forward. When the starter gives the starting signal, you step up onto the platform and you're watching the swimmers. And sometimes you have the joy of watching the water coming towards you. But you are there. You're watching the swimmers as best you can. I was with a group of inspectors of turns who were told by the FINA representative, do not flinch, your job is to get wet. He wasn't very sympathetic to us getting drowned. But that is your job. You get up there, and you watch the swimmer, and you try not to watch the water coming at you. Watch the swimmer as best you can. For backstroke starts, if you're using ledges, backstroke ledges, you stand on the first long whistle of the referee when the swimmers drop in the water. On the second long whistle from the referee, you step up into a position where you can look down the wall. Excuse me, because you are looking to see if the swimmer has at least one toe from each foot on the touch pad or the wall. If they don't have that, they're not swimming the full length of the race. Because that backstroke ledge can be 4 millimetres wide at the top. We wouldn't want them to get 4 millimetre advantage. But that's the rule. You have to swim the full event, full distance, so their toes must be on the wall. As soon as you see their toes are on the wall, you step back to the back of the block and you remain there. If the toes are not on the wall, you may have to tell them that you need to get your toes on the wall. Do it quickly and then step back. And then when the race starts, you stay there. You watch the swimmers. Interesting one, if you have no inspectors of turns, who checks the toes? The referee and?
The starter.
Good
luck saying that.
Yeah.
Well, it's alright if you're on the right side, but anyone else on the other side?
Yeah, it's good.
It gets a 4 millimetre.
But then when I started, swimmers had to have their toes under the water for the start of backstroke races. And it was solely the responsibility of the starter to see that. They did it somehow. Starters to these days have got to learn again. For backstroke races where you do not have ledges, oh, sorry, I should add the other thing. If your ledges are available and your swimmer has opted not to use ledges, not to use it, you still get up with everybody on that first whistle. So it looks consistent across the pool. You don't have to go forward and look down. You should know that their feet are on the wall. But you stand there. Now, if you're not using backstroke ledges, or if it's a freestyle race, at the start, you sit and do nothing. Watch the swimming. At the turn end, inspectors of turns stand when the first swimmer reaches the 15 metre mark from the wall. They all stand together, move forward together, and then they watch the swimmers come in and go out. If it's a 100 metre event, the last turn has just been made. When the slowest swimmer gets to the 15 metre mark, everybody moves and sits down. So you're up from the fastest swimmer coming in, reaching the 15 metre mark, to the slowest swimmer going out, reaching the 15 metre mark. And again, at the finish, for those freestyle inspectors of turns who have been sitting down, they get up when the first swimmer reaches the 15 metre mark from the finish, same time as the timekeepers get up. For the breaststroke and butterfly and backstroke starts, you stand throughout the race. So you've got up at the beginning, you don't go and sit down, you stand there. Okay. We're going to do the rules next time, so I'm not going to bother doing these rules and looking at them. The rules are going to be done in detail in the next session. So let's go ahead to relay events. What are you looking for in relay events? You are looking that the swimmer still has their feet on the starting platform when the preceding teammate touches the wall. Do they have to be stationary? No. In fact, they should be gone and hoping like hell that that swimmer is going to finish absolutely hard. Now, if you see an infraction, you report it. You'll need to know which changeover was it. Because when you write the infraction, it's the longest infraction you have to write. Swimmer number two's feet lost contact with the starting platform before the preceding teammate touched the wall. It's longer than the breaststroke. His head did not break the surface of the water before the hairs turned in with the widest part of the second stroke. Yeah. Now, so you need to record those details in the program. Where you're using AOE, where the meter is using AOE, and it is being used to judge the changeovers, it takes precedence. It will judge the changeovers, not you. But if you see something, you still write it in your program, because the referee may come over to ask, may come over to confirm. There may be a protest, and you may be called to give evidence.
How long after your meet should you keep your program? Because I did Woi Woi Country Regionals and I threw it out today. I'm just wondering.
Why would you want to keep it, apart from a souvenir?
Oh, well, because just if there was a protest or anything.
When does a protest have to be heard or submitted?
30 minutes.
Within 30 minutes of the
announcing
of the result, yes.
Is that all good? But they say up further, if I get for a jury of appeal or anything like that, I don't need to keep it longer than the meet?
No. Unless it's a souvenir. When I was thinking about coming here, and we talked about the referee must have a current copy of the rules. And I was thinking, I wish I'd kept my original rules. Because to show how different they were in that short time, 30 years, since I became a referee, it's incredible. Now, back then, backstroke turns had to be made. You had to touch while you were on your back. Then you had to turn. None of this fancy rolling off your back or the breast and doing a tumble turn.
Look, as an ex-swimmer, I know that there's things that they can do these days that we would have been disqualified with anyone else.
Yes.
You know, I was a breaststroke, you know, you weren't allowed, there was no butterfly kick after the turns and those type of things, that would have been a disqualification.
Yeah.
As a pure breaststroker, I guess.
And what about the head in breaststroke? There was a time when the head was not allowed to submerge in breaststroke once you'd come up after the start. So girls used to wear a cap with five or six caps piled up.
To keep them the extra distance.
So they could get a bit of a streamline. Yeah.
We're having an interesting, I don't know what's at the moment, but they're all about submersion and butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
It's like coaches have never taught the kids that at the moment. And, yeah, it's getting a lot of questions about it. And I'm like, well, it's in the rules. It has been for a long time. And
yes.
But I think maybe it's the fact that everyone's got these bright coloured caps now that it's maybe standing out a bit more because suddenly you don't see the cap or I'm not sure, but the whole point about, you know, you've got to have some part of the body above the water at all times.
Yeah, I got questioned by a coach at the area championships a couple of weeks ago.
I think there will be more on that in the next.
Is there something coming that maybe?
Yes, we have just got confirmation from Swimming Australia.
Watch this space, I'm hearing.
If you're underwater, you're breaking the rules at any point other than that first 15 metres.
And some of them are very hard to pick, just like that backstroke touch, you know, and so this has to be no doubt, no shadow of a doubt.
I talk with my coach, my club, and say, these are the rules.
Yeah.
This is how you need to push it. If it's faster, you need to push it.
Yeah, and we've been making sure that, you know, if it occurs continuously throughout the race or if it happens at one point to note, at that one point, it's at the, you know, 75-metre mark or whatever it is so that it's recorded. But if it is continuous, that's different. You know, you tend to get particularly younger butterfly swimmers who can't quite get them the muscle mass up to get out of the water for more of it and they end up the whole last 25 metres underwater.
They start gliding and they start trying to conserve energy and they glide. And then they, it's like a dolphin doing that type of thing.
What you're saying there, that's the difference between during and throughout, though.
That's right.
Yes.
Yep.
So, you have to judge those and record it. You may be asked. Those relay training drivers. That's all I'm going to do with inspectors of turns. I'm getting something very similar with judges of stroke. And you'll be pleased to know that there is some homework here and that you are going to be given a very nice little diagram of a four-lane pool to illustrate where to position yourself as judge of stroke. Okay? That's what this one's about. Judges of stroke, you need the same gear as the referee. If you may be called on to replace the referee. Now, there are four judges of stroke numbered around the pool from the referee. The one closest to the referee is number one. Okay, if you're looking for something on page four, the diagram, you've got the referee and the starter there on the left, judge of stroke number one next to them. Number two is down the pool. Number three is on the other side without a number. That's clever.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's the tick.
Number three is the next one around, opposite number two. And number four is opposite number one. At Swimming New South Wales meets, we try to make it. It does not always happen. If you are going to be referee next session, you will be judge of stroke one or two this session, so that you're aware of the protocols happening with the referee, so that we can have consistency. Okay. Now, that's an 8-lane pool there. Judges of stroke 1 and 2 will have jurisdiction over lanes 1, 2, 3 and 4. Judges of stroke 3 and 4 will have jurisdiction over lanes 5, 6, 7 and 8. So you get half the pool. 10-lane pool, you've got 5 lanes each. You need to position yourself.
I was going to ask if there's an odd lane pool.
Sort it out with the referee and yourself.
Yeah. Is it paperwork?
Yeah. Or, because you do not want 2 people watching 1 lane. Mm-hmm. Or 4 people rather than 2.
And it's interesting you say that, because I've actually had that same case in the past, and I've had the referee say to me, oh, all 4 of you watch lane 5.
Yeah. It's up to the referee.
But I can see what you're saying. It'd be better to have one person, one side only watching that middle lane rather than having both.
I know what I've just said, but I've been in the position that's so back. I was number 1 judge of stroke. The referee was following me down the pool. It was a medley event. And the swimmer in lane 5, so out of my jurisdiction, rolled over on his back to adjust his goggles. Mm-hmm. And turned back. And I turned to the referee and said, looks like lane 5's swimming backstroke in freestyle section. And he said, write it up. Nobody came from the other side of the pool. I did not expect to have to write it up, but I did what I was told. So, you've got half the pool, and you don't want to appear to be over referee, which is why, as the referee, I would tend to say, you'll do lanes 1 to 4, you'll do 5, 6, 7 from the other side, something like that.
Yeah, I would think it would be better to have that middle lane with the side that the referee is on. So 1 and 2 looking after that, because at least there's 3 people on that side and there's 2 on the other. So to me, that would be the way.
Yeah. But that's how I would do it, but a referee may choose differently. And there is no rule about that.
Okay. That's probably the point I wanted to get to. There's no correct answer.
There's no...
Yeah.
There are many correct answers.
Well, there's no one correct answer.
No. Okay. Judges of stroke assist the inspectors of turns by watching the swimmers at the touches and the turns. And as a judge of stroke, if you see an infraction in a turn, you report it. As a referee, if I've got 2 people, the inspector of turns and a judge of stroke, reporting the same infraction, I'm convinced. Now,
so in that instance, does it matter who writes it up if they're both saying the same thing at the turn?
It does not. As a referee, which one would you prefer to write it up?
The
IOT. Yeah, simply because they're sitting right over it, watching it. The judge of stroke has got a good view of it, but from the side.
Yeah.
If they both say the same thing.
We find sometimes the judge of stroke seems to see the submersion of the backstroke touch better than the inspector of turns, though, because it's so over the top if they're only just below, and depending where the splash is, so that one's a bit tricky.
Yep, no, that is absolutely true. From the side of the pool, you can watch the length of the swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
As the inspector of turns, unless they're really underwater, you've gone from watching the swimmer to watching the wall to watch the touch.
Yeah. You get a better perspective.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's where it really is good. You can have everybody there, not just judge and stroke, but have everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Understand. Yeah. I'd say probably in that instance, you judge and stroke's the only one that's going to make a turn and make a report back.
Yeah.
Yes. So the IoT, it depends. It depends how far out and how far down they are.
Yeah. Some, particularly the, we find generally that, that 10 to 12 year old boy bracket, they're the ones who push the boundary.
Just start out to try to learn how to do it.
You're all
the same thing.
He's both looked at each other and went,
you know, Josh.
There was a kid who was like, I don't know, he wasn't a metre underwater, but it was so obvious. I mean, there was like a foot of water between him and the top. I mean, then the whole thing.
Then you can expect the IT to report. And the referee is probably
the other thing when it comes to girls is the girls who wear bright coloured toenail polish. And it's a little thing, but you can notice if the toes, like, they're smart.
I never thought of that.
You should do it because it's way more obvious to see the foot and the toes out of the water.
Yep.
Than the ones that don't. I know it sounds like a little thing. If you're a girl, that's a very smart move to, you know, make sure that your toes
are safe.
Well, they could too, but, you know.
Get Josh some
depends if it, depends if it goes with your ski time.
Yeah, Liam. Can I, sorry, I just want to tell you a funny story about my 8-year-old. So at my previous club, Faye was our referee. My 8-year-old turned onto his, I think he was 7 at the time, turned onto his tummy to finish. So Faye pulled him up on that. And he got out of the pool and said to Faye, no, I didn't. You didn't see it right. And walked away. And I've gone, oh, dear God, Oliver, what are you doing? Like, but he said that to Faye. And I just had to laugh about children.
Yeah.
And Faye came and told me, and she goes, it's all right that he's for me, but if he goes to another meet, like he's been, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
That happens a lot.
You're wrong.
You are wrong, yes.
Did she tell that to him on the protest?
Yeah.
Don't speak to Mum, I think is what she said.
As a judge of stroke, walking down the pool, you make your decision about what you see independently. You should not be discussing it with anybody else. But again, if two of you come to report the same infraction, so be it.
Well, sometimes you're training and it's good to teach them what and show them an example of what they've observed and talk through it.
Yes, absolutely.
So it would be, so it would actually be better if you see something, but you were, because sometimes, you know, you get there at times, and I've seen in the past where I've kind of gone, oh, well, I know that that official, the other judge of strokes, already walking up to report the same thing, but you, it would be actually better for the referee to have both of us actually.
My question would be, are they walking up to report exactly the same thing?
I mean, when it's so odd, I mean, it's probably been
pretty. Do they see another lane do something wrong first?
You expose the rest of us in the
lane. I was going to say the same thing. You're not 100% sure that you're reporting what you're saying.
So you make your decision. If you see it, report it. The referee says, thank you, I've already got a report on that. He's thanking you.
Yeah.
Are you serious about it? Because you've made up his mind.
Yeah.
And if there's a question from the coach,
he goes with two.
I had two reports, one of which was written up. Oh, and that's the other thing about WPS. They will get you both to write it up. World Para Swimming, the old multi-class swimmer.
Okay.
They will get everybody who makes a report on that swimmer. So it could be two ends and two judges of stroke writing a report on the same swimmer. Because
safety numbers.
Well, it could be a different infraction. It will be if you've got two inspectors of turns. But if we don't get you on this one, we'll get you on the next one almost. Okay, so a freestyle event. Where do the judges of stroke sit?
When or where?
Where?
At the race start.
At the 15-metre mark. No.
Okay.
The race hasn't started. They're sitting at the 15-metre mark.
Okay.
It's a freestyle event. The referee's long whistle blows. The judges of stroke stand. They walk together to the 15-metre rope and stand there. When the race starts, they observe the swimmers, watching to make sure that their heads break the surface at or before the 15 metre mark after the start. Then, judges of stroke 1 and 4 do nothing, they stay. Judges of stroke 2 and 3 walk down the pool, beside, behind the swimmers, watching them, and stop at the 15 metre mark from the turn end. They watch the swimmers go in, they watch them come out, watch them go down, turn again for the 200 metre, come back, the inspectors of turns have not moved, they're standing. They turn again, go back. When the swimmer has finished, the inspector of turns sit down at their end, unless it is the last, or until it is the last event, last heat of that event. The last heat of that event, as the swimmers turn, judges of stroke 2 and 3 follow them back down to 1 and 4, and then they sit down. So they stay there for the duration of the event, come back with the last heat. If it's an event of 200 metres or more, they may be given an instruction to sit, in all judges of stroke, to sit after 65 metres is the usual one. So one lap and the last swimmer reaches the 15 metre mark coming back, then you can sit. Still keep watching the swimmers. Watch the swimmers throughout. Is that one going to stop, pull on the lane ropes, stand up, walk?
Submerge.
Submerge. Other than for the first 15 metres after its return? Yeah, any of those could happen. So you keep watching the swimmers throughout the 1500 metre event.
Sometimes I do wish we had high seats like a tennis umpire, because for those who are short, much easier to see in the book.
Yes,
yeah.
Could not agree more. Mm. If you're a water polo referee, you walk along a platform 1 metre high along the edge of the pool.
Yeah.
Vision is amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
No.
That's why I used to wear stilettos at Abbott's Hill. Can be extra delicious. It's too close. I turn up from one red all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So have you all got freestyle events in your head? Nice and simple. Let's look at butterfly and backstroke. Butterfly and backstroke races. Sitting down at the 15 metre mark. And the long whistle from the referee, the first one, the backstroke, the long whistle from the referee, you both stand. Judges of stroke 2 and 3 go to the 15 metre mark and stand there. 1 and 4 move down the pool to a position about 8 metres from the wall and they stop there. When the race starts, you watch the swimmers underwater. The dive and underwater. 1 and 4 will follow them down to the 15 metre mark, and when the swimmers reach the 15 metre mark, having checked that they've all surfaced at or before, all judges of stroke will then move down the pool. When you get to the other end of the pool, judges of stroke 1 and 4 will stop at the 15 metre mark. And 2 and 3 will continue to be in a position to watch the turns and the touches. They will then walk back towards 1 and 4, who will wait until they've seen all the heads in their jurisdiction come up. And they will then follow down the pool. Now, once you get into longer distance events, you get separation of swimmers. The trailing judges of stroke stay with the back swimmers the leading judges of stroke, whichever way you happen to be walking, tend to stay with the leading swimmers. Stay with, not only observe or observe only. Still looking, scanning all the swimmers in their jurisdiction. It's easier for the trailing ones because they're looking forwards. But the leading ones can also look around because there will be some in the middle with nobody walking alongside them. At the finish, this is butterfly and backstroke, nobody stops at the 15 metre mark. Everybody, all the judges of stroke move down to about 5-6 metres from the finish to watch the finishers. Okay, nobody stops at the 15 metre mark, right through to the end, so that you can watch those finishers. Don't get in the way of the referee though. Sometimes the referee will have stepped back talking to another technical official. In that case, judge of stroke one may go right to the wall. Mm. It's a call you make on the fly, knowing what is happening. If the referee is distracted, you take the place of the referee. There's not time to do anything else. So that one, you are more separated. In breaststroke, it is different again. Sitting at the 15 metre mark, on the long whistle from the referee, you both stand and move down towards the end, the start end of the pool. Numbers 1 and 4 will end up about 5 metres from the start. 2 and 3 will end up about 8 metres from the start. And you, again, when the start is given, 1 and 3 will observe what's in the water, so 1 and 4 and 2 and 3, and 1 and 4 will move down towards 2 and 3, and then they will follow the swimmers down. At the far end, they will both go past the 15 metre mark to roughly the same position. This time 2 and 3 will go to 5 metres. 1 and 4 will stop at about 7 or 8 metres out to watch the turns and what happens underwater at the state of wind. And then they will follow them back down. At the finish, all the judges of stroke will end up about 5 metres from the wall. Okay. Any questions about that?
I have a question about jostling in general.
Yeah.
So when you... So say I'm joss one at SOPAC and I'm near the starter.
Yeah.
Then when we move to 50 metre races, this is where I get a little... And I'm going to start confused. Do I still say as in the joss one position, but I technically become joss two? Or do you see what I... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you stay in the same position.
This is it.
Yeah.
And I'm then referred to as Joss 2, or I'm still referred to as Joss 1? Because I thought Joss 1 was the closest near the ref, and that's where my logic fits.
From the starting end of the pool.
Oh, right. Okay. That.
Okay. From 50 metre events, you're starting at the turn end of the pool.
So that start end of the... When you're starting at the 50, it still doesn't become the start end of the pool? I just
want to... For that race, it does, but when you are describing the pool, okay, it's returning.
Right, okay.
No? Good question. Mm-hmm. Good question.
Especially the freestyle part, because...
Yes, that's...
You know, one walks down and stays there.
Yeah.
When do they walk back?
With the last heat of the event.
Yeah, the last heat of the event, it's only doing 50 metres. So they're still on their 50 metres, but then you just go down independently.
For the start of the 50 metre event,
yep.
Both of you would go to the 15 metre
yep.
from the start for that event.
Yep.
Yep.
The judges of stroke 1 and 3 would walk down to the 15 metre mark from the finish.
Yep, and they stay there.
And they stay there.
Yep.
When the last event has touched the wall, they would move down. In the last heat of the event, they would move down.
Yeah,
if there was another 50-metre following.
Yeah.
If not, they stay, and two and three will follow them
down.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Now think about what I've just said in terms of a 25-metre pull.
Shot cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more difficult.
I always find that first meet in short course season, I'm always in the wrong spot because you just haven't quite kicked your brain back into the right gear. That you're always a bit messy. It's good then if you've got an experienced referee to keep you in the right spot.
Judges of stroke 1 and 3 will be at 15 metre mark from the time. So only 10 metres from the start.
Mm.
2 and 4 will be at the 15 metre mark from the start. 10 metres from the rear.
2 and 4 or 2 and 3?
2 and 3.
Yeah.
Good, you picked up. That's a bonus point.
I love bonus points.
How many times have I made that mistake already today?
Isn't that the first one that you picked up?
1, 4, 2, and 3. Yeah. It's wrong to say those two as combinations.
Yeah.
Now, in a medley event, the first lap is, if it's a 200 metre medley, the first lap is backstroke. The judges of stroke adopt a backstroke position. 8 metres, 15 metres, 15 metres. 5 metres. Then it's. Sorry, oh my god, that's a medley.
Talking about medley.
Medley, no.
Relay.
Butterfly first. Same position as a butterfly race. Coming back, it's backstroke. Same position as for backstroke race. But at the finish, you want that inspector of turns, sorry, a judge of stroke, numbers 2 and 4 to come down further, because the next leg is breaststroke. So they need to be in the position for the start of the breaststroke leg. Follow it through, and then 1 and 4, be very careful to get it right, stop at the 15 metre mark, because what's coming back is freestyle. If you apply that sort of thing to a short course medley, there's 10 metres in the middle that nobody looks at. Everybody stops at the 15 metre mark. So you don't stop at the 15 metre mark for short course, so that you can cover adequately that section in the middle between the false start points. Okay? And you report, as we've said, you report what you see. Yes, I know, I'm just about to finish. You report what you see. And you make your reports in the tournament. Okay? Now, homework sheets, have you got those? Would you give them out already?
I haven't.
The ones
Okay, yep. And as well as the homework sheets, you also have the judge of stroke and inspector of turns training exercises. Good practice to complete those as well. Okay? Thank you very, very much. Really appreciate you coming here.
You.
I hope I did a reasonable job.
Well, can we all thank John? He's an amazing. To have that amount of knowledge and experience covered in such a short period of time by somebody that's sort of been in the same done in 7 years, and you've stood in to cover for others. So, thank you, John. Very good indeed.
Thank you. Yep, loved it.
Thank you all for coming. Those who are officiating up the road, enjoy.
Can we get an hour break, please?
I didn't mention these.
Oh, yes.
If you are filling these in, these are so much nicer than the giant half-page things we used to have. if you are disqualifying lane 10, lane 9, you do not have to write in that line there. This indicates which lane you've disqualified. This indicates why. So you can, if you're disqualifying lane 9, you can start writing in that top line.
I think for the first year I've tried to do that.
Yeah, it took us a while to figure that one out.
When we should just maybe leave the lane number blank, write the lane number in.